Good morning. Well, I think even though we have probably a good 6-7 weeks until fall originally or officially arrives, we seem to, because of school schedules, come to the end of the summer. And maybe this summer you did what a lot of families have done. You took the Great American Road Trip. And maybe you went, you know, across the country. Maybe you went to Bedford. I don't know. You picked a place and you said you went there and you got the kids in the back of the car and you went. And there's just something about taking a long journey with kids that invites that singular question that they ask. Are we there yet? Yeah. You know, we ask that question spiritually. Sometimes too. We find ourselves thinking, are we there yet? God, what are you up to? I've been praying about something. When are you coming back? I see the world getting so broken and so much pain. Are we there yet? Has the end come? Has the things I've been praying about, the things I've been preparing for, the work that I've been doing, is it bearing any fruit? Are we there yet? James has a word for us about this. Because he reminds us that being impatient is a sign that we still have some growing up to do. And so let's take a look. We're going to jump ahead for a reason. We've got some great things happening this morning. But we're going to jump ahead to chapter 5. And we'll go back in a couple weeks to chapter 3 where we had left off. But let's read this. We're getting into verse 7. In verse 8, it says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, what's he telling us here to do? Well, he's telling us essentially, settle in for the long haul. Buckle up. It's going to be a long and probably a bumpy ride. Don't expect this thing to be over in a day. We've got a ways to go. Now, I have found that there are three things that help me pass the time productively. And especially when you're on some kind of a trip. And if we can think about our faith journey as a trip. And one of those things is it's always good to have a traveling buddy or two. There's times when it's nice to be in the car by yourself, but if you're going on a long trip, it's always nice to have a good traveling buddy, somebody to talk to with, somebody when you stop and you get a meal and Church of the Lakes, just good to have somebody along with you for the ride. And I found that if I have somebody with me, the trip goes much faster than if I'm just by myself. In fact, if I have to make a long trip, which I've had to do in the last couple of years out to Pennsylvania, I found that if I pull up my phone, I've got a couple of buddies that I can call and we'll talk and an hour will go by and the distance becomes shorter because we're just chatting away. So I encourage you, get a traveling buddy. That is, find a small group to be a part of. Or even a smaller group of maybe of a few people to do some discipleship together. Just read the Bible and pray together. But find some people to travel on this journey with. I found it's also encouraging to learn new stuff. One of the things that I enjoyed when I was doing a lot of traveling for the college that I used to work at was I would go to the library and I would get some CDs, books on CD, and I'd plug them in and I'd go. And I learned all sorts of things. Folks, use this time you have on the planet to know who God is and to know his creation, to know who and understand other people. We often talk about this idea that somehow we're created for heaven. Folks, the truth is we were created for earth. Earth was broken by the fall. And one day we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to dwell on that new earth. We were made for this. Learn it, explore it, discover what God has here, and be a part of helping to mend it along the way. And that brings us to the third thing that really seems to help time go by quickly, and that is to help others. To be a help to other people. Yesterday, we had a fantastic day at our back-to-school bash. We served over 500 people who came through here. You should have seen it if you weren't here. We had a line all the way out to the end of the parking lot, straight back and up the road a little bit at one point. We gave away over 300 backpacks, school supplies. All that stuff you guys donated, out the door. We partnered. We had community people give us stuff to give away, and we gave that out. The Elks Lodge, Melissa Wallace was a big part of that. They came, and they served with us, and they gave us a big grant to buy a lot of that stuff that we did, and they made food, hamburgers and hot dogs. And we had games and other things, and it was just a tremendous day. And I want to say thank you to all of you who prayed, who donated, either cash or items or both. People who helped prepare and get things sorted. Those of you who came out yesterday to set up, be here, or come back and clean up. We couldn't have done it without you. And isn't there something that happens that when we help other people, we just find the time goes by and the journey becomes a little bit lighter. So I encourage you to do that. Now, with that, notice what he said there. He said, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. How do I establish my heart? Well, there's a place that we look at in Matthew 25, and I want to encourage you this week. You would think, oh, we had this big event, we could all just sit back and rest. Why do that? Let's go on. Let's take it to another place, and let's expand what we're doing here a little bit. And we want to take the Matthew 25 challenge. Now, last week we talked about how James echoes a lot of what his big brother Jesus, his half-brother Jesus, had to say. And we were reminded of the parable of the sheep and goats, where Jesus said, when people are asking, when are you coming back? He said, don't worry about when I'm coming back. Just be prepared for when I do return. Well, how do I do that? Well, he had a few parables. And one of those parables was how the Son of Man would come and he'd sit on the throne and he would separate the sheep, or the people, the nations, like a shepherd would separate the sheep and the goats, with the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And the determination was how they treated people. He said this, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. This is to the people on the right. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And they said, when? When did we do all that? When you did it to the least of these. For a long time, you know, I, like a lot of us, just kind of grew in my bubble, in my own experiences. And a number of years ago, I had an opportunity to go to Haiti, one of the poorest countries in our hemisphere. And I thought I'd seen some poverty before, but I was not prepared for what I saw. People living essentially on top of trash dumps. Children getting water to drink from the filthiest gutters you've ever seen. Babies with distended bellies and lightened hair from malnourishment. It's one of the most tragic things I ever experienced. You come away from that and you think, okay, I got to do something about that. But then we get back involved in our own lives, and bit by bit, that becomes distant in our thinking. And so we need every now and then a reminder that we can still help. We can make a difference. We should be making a difference. So this week, we're being invited into a special challenge. And I want to show this video to you, and then we'll get into the specifics of it, but watch this video.
Then the king would say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous would answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
The Matthew 25 challenge was a transformational moment for my family and I. There's one particular day when the challenge was to sleep on the floor. And I walked by my daughter's room, and she was already there on her sleeping bag reading her Bible.
The Matthew 25 challenge was an incredibly spiritual experience for me personally. God was teaching us different things every day, and sharing it with each other was really exciting.
Well, when it came to the Water Day challenge, three words come to mind: caffeine, withdrawal, headaches. Going without coffee all day was a lot harder than I thought. I'd get these headaches, but every time I did, it would remind me of the 6 kilometer walk that women and children have to do to get unclean water.
My first thought was, this will be easy. I grew up missing meals and sleeping on the floor, but my daughters, not so much. They were challenged to come out of their Wi-Fi life and actually experience what kids around the world experience every single day.
So what we're going to do is a week-long, kind of text-driven challenge. You're going to get, if you opt in, you're going to get text. Now, why do this? Well, because as we have seen through James, and we've looked at some of the words of Jesus, Jesus defines his followers as people who care for the least of these. And James has been telling us to put some muscle to our faith. And this is an opportunity. Now, this won't be the only opportunity you will ever encounter in your life, but it is an opportunity. And right now, you may think, I don't know if I want to do this. I want to challenge you. Take this little step of faith. Now, how do you do this? Well, first off, grab that little card that was either on your seat or right in the little rack in front of you. And I want to see that everybody's got it. So all you introverts, I'm going to make you nervous. Hold it up here nice and high for me to see. And if you look around and you see somebody who's not waving it, give them the glare of death. You know, like, No, don't do that. Okay, so now, take out your phones. And here's, I'm going to tell you something you rarely hear in a crowd like this. Unmute them. So we can all hear people do this. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to pull up your texting tool. Not Messenger, not Facebook Messenger, but what you text people on. Now, let me tell you, for those of you who are struggling in this moment, look around for a second grader. They will help you. Actually, ask your neighbor. Say, hey, can you help me with this and do it? So you're going to pull up your texting tool, and you're going to start a new text. And there is a space where mine says type a name, phone number, email address. For you, just you're going to put in these numbers. 44888. 44888. That's all you've got to put in before. Now, some of you have done this, and so you've texted before, but go ahead and put in 44888. And then down in the body, once you do that, then down in the body, put in simply M25. Letter M, 25. And then send that text. And so I want, if you have your phone up, because it'll start pinging you back here a little bit and ask you things. And it'll ask you the date. You're going to be in the one for August 6th. That's the one you're going to choose. And what's going to happen is along the week, and I don't know exactly what they're all going to look like, but along the week you're going to get texts to encourage you to do. And if you look at the card, there are 6 things for us to do this week. And they're going to be a challenge to you. I can tell you, I'm one of those people, I'm not looking forward to sleeping on my floor. But I'm willing to try it. Now, I understand if physically it would be harmful for you to do any one of these things, then modify it, do what you can, but don't opt out. Stay in, even if you've got to skip a day or you forget. Just stay with the whole thing. And then be back here next Sunday morning, because we're going to have a great day. Steve Spear is going to be here, and I mentioned Steve before. Steve works for World Vision, longtime friend of mine from college, and 5 years ago, Steve ran across the U.S. in 5 months' time to raise money for clean water in Africa because he visited his sponsored child and saw the long walk she had to take to carry water. Her name was Winnie, is Winnie, and had to take it from where she could get it to where she was. And it wasn't even clean water. So I encourage you, every one of us do this. Now, if you're not a texter, if you take the card with you, it'll tell you how to email it. If you don't even do email, you and Fred Flintstone can just use the card. Well, let's get all of us into this. Now, you could probably think of 10 reasons not to do it. There's probably right now someone, well, I got this, I got that. Those are the voices that always pop up at moments when we are on the verge of doing something that can turn the direction of our life, that can take us into some deeper waters. So push those words, voice out of your head and jump in with us on this, and then be here next week, because it will be a tremendous, tremendous day. Well, let's go on with our text here. Look at verse 9. It says, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is already standing at the door." If you've been on one of those long drives, and maybe you've been one of the people in the back seat, right next to your siblings, you know how hard and irritating your siblings can be. You're an angel. Everybody else was the problem. My sister would just make these long trips awful. And she would make me, if we were going overnight, she would take the whole bench back seat to herself. I would sleep down in the little cubby, you know, on the floorboard down there with my head resting on whatever that transmission line coming through there. That's what I do. She's an awful person. And if she ever comes to visit, you let her know, oh, I can't believe how you treated that boy. You know, when we're waiting and things are frustrating, we do tend to get irritated and annoyed with people. And one way to do that is to take the eyes off of ourselves and to stop thinking, okay, why isn't everybody making me happy? Why isn't everybody meeting my needs? Ask yourself, what can I do for the other people around me? How can I make their life better? How can I bless my wife, my husband, my kids? What can I do for other people? How can I help my church? If you hear a call out for, hey, we have an opportunity for serving this way, jump in. If you're looking for something to do right now, see me or Kevin or Matt, we will help you find a place to serve, because the journey will be much more pleasant if your eyes aren't focused on yourself, but they are focused on other people. Let's go on a little bit more. He tells us this. Look at verses 10 and 11. It says, "As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Many of them were punished, beaten, tortured, put to death because they were preaching what God wanted them to preach. He said, behold those blessed who remain steadfast. Rather than giving up, rather than running, they stood their ground. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. And if you don't know Job's story, you might want to read through it sometime. But here was a guy who lost all of his family, who lost all of his wealth, who lost his health, and he struggled. And he had people, he even had his wife say, why don't you just curse God and die, get it over with? But yet he held on. And he was eventually able to see God in a whole new light. He says, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So he tells us here to remember others who have endured for the long run. Think about those people. When you're in that moment of thinking about giving up, giving in, giving out, think about people who endured. And he gives us a few. He tells us to remember the prophets. He tells us to remember Job. We can also think about our contemporaries. People today who are in this for the long run. You know, when, as we look a little bit more into what James says, he says this, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And he tells about Elijah. He said, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He's like us. We think he's a super dude, but he's not. He's just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. We need to keep praying. We need to keep praying. Right now is a moment that you may need some encouragement. You may need to be reminded that you are not alone in your praying. You might have a family member who needs to open themselves up to God's work in their lives. Maybe you have a job or financial difficulty, health circumstance, something you need some prayer. And maybe you're wondering if your prayers are going to be answered. The message for us today is to not back down, to keep praying, to persevere in what we're doing. And there are lots of moments where we're ready to give up, to throw in the towel, to think it's not making a difference. And Donna's story, their family's story, is one that perseverance produces fruit. And it's right in line with what Scripture has to say.